Cool meeting to cover a few basics at the beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all panelists will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. The clerk will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Chair, the floor is yours.
Okay, well, first item of business is approval of minutes of our last meeting, if anybody remembers that far back. July 16th, apparently. Are there any questions, motions on those minutes? Lou?
A motion to approve.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second? AJ, you second? Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor, do not raise your hand. All opposed, raise your hand now. Okay, seeing no opposition, the minutes are approved and we can move on to public comment. Any public comment today?
All right, we have no registered public comment.
Okay, then we can move into disclosures and recusals. Does anybody need to say anything about that today? George?
I will be recusing myself on item number 3.
Okay.
George, is that 3 regarding Yellowstone or 4 item number 4 regarding Atwood?
Atwood.
Oh, number 4 then. Okay, so number 4. Duly noted, right? Okay, well, then we are ready to move on to item 2, which is the 1101 South Thompson Drive variance.
All right. Item number 2, a variance for the property at 1101 South Thompson Drive. We have 6 individuals that are registered. We have Katie Moldenhauer in support, available to answer questions. Richard Genthy in support, available to answer questions. Kim Turner in support, available to answer questions. And Joseph Bartle in support, available to answer questions. We also have Liz Becker in support, wishing to speak, and Sharon Genthy in support, wishing to speak. This item is for a 2-unit home located at 1101 South Thompson Drive. The property owner is seeking a variance from the UDC code 32107B, which requires exit doors to be openable from the interior without the use of a key. Again, the prospective property owner is proposing the installation of a magnetic locking system within the 2-unit home to provide support for residents with special health and safety needs that would prohibit residents from leaving without supervision. The board has considered items such as this previously. We have established a historic precedence for this item variance related to single dwelling unit buildings. The differentiator at this building is that the building is a 2-unit duplex side by side. The variance application, excuse me, includes proposed safety equivalency measures of interconnected magnetic locking system with smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors that connect to the door and have battery backup, 24-hour supervision, a sprinkler system installed throughout the dwellings, and a installation of a Knox box on the exterior of the property. With that having been said and introduced, first person registered to speak here is Liz Becker. Liz, if you'd like to speak, please proceed.
Hi there. I'm Liz Becker. I'm the executive director with Options and Community Living.
One second here, Liz. Unfortunately, yep. We have to keep your video off.
Oh, just sorry. I thought you said to push it on. My bad.
Nope, apologize. No problem. Thank you.
I'm the executive director with Options and Community Living, and we support individuals with disabilities to live in their own homes as a part of the community. And both folks that we support who live in each side of the duplex, we have supported for over 10 years each, and we have great relationships with them. And we have created great safety protocols and support plans to help them successfully live in the community. And part of their support need is to have the perimeter locks on their homes to help them stay safe. And these are managed by the FOBs that staff hold at all times. And we have created great backup systems to allow staff to problem solve if there is a glitch in the system, or if there's some sort of locking of the system where they need access to an alternate FOB. The systems, we work with J&K Security Lock for these systems, and we have great relationship with them as well, and many years of working with them. The attachment one that was provided in the application process outlines our training process for magnetic locking systems as well as our upkeep. The magnetic locks are tied directly to the smoke alarms and CO2 alarms. So if there were a smoke alarm going off or CO2 alarm, they would automatically disengage. Therefore, the tenant and staff could leave out the door without a key. Also, in the event of a power outage or something, there is a backup power system from 30 to 60 minutes. Otherwise, you know, enough time to make a backup plan to help them remain safe. And the risks to not having these in place is that both of these individuals would not be able to safely live in the community and have, you know, the right to be a member of their community with the supports necessary to keep them safe and everyone around them safe. And those risks include elopement, where they would leave their home without somebody knowing. Both of these individuals have staff 24/7. They're never left alone. And so they always have somebody available to help them. The other potential is that due to their disabilities, they may not understand the safety of being in the middle of the street or running into traffic or something like that. So this would help. Just this isn't to prevent them from leaving, but to help them leave safely and have the right plan to leave safely and make sure they're in a good place to leave and have the right support staff ready to go. Both individuals actively are involved in the community and leave their homes on a regular basis, but this just allows them to do so in a safe manner.
Thank you very much. Second individual registered to speak here is Sharon Genfi. Sharon, if you'd like to unmute yourself, please, and feel free to use your 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Sharon Genthy. My husband Rick and I have owned this duplex on South Thompson since 2009. We've worked with Options very closely for 30 years. They are extremely responsible, which Rick and I appreciate, to their clients. We help them where we can. This system, initially, the variance, was put in several years ago. So we have had maglock doors, and we thought that everything was going fine until, unfortunately, we had another client that misrepresented what they were doing. And the first we heard about it, that there was a problem there. Now, the first we heard about it was when we got notification that the fire department had to be called because somebody locked themselves in. So it was frightening for us. And as soon as we got to the bottom of what had happened and that we got the citation and for what reason, we terminated business with that client, and Options then came back and is now working with the client there. So I corresponded on a monthly basis with the other client and with Options, and we continue to do so. How are things going? How are the clients doing? What can we do? We did in 2009, I think it was, made the house what I call a safe house, so that there, all the outlets have been covered, the windows have been covered, the walls have been covered to make it safe for these clients. So that's all I would say. We have been trying to comply in whatever way we need to and to help Options to, and to help these clients, because I don't know where else they go. So I'm open for any questions you might have as to why we're here.
Okay, well, I guess I have a question. I'm getting a little confused. It sounds like you have had a system in place, but now you're coming for this variance. So I just need to understand why you have to get the variance here if something was already in place. Is this a brand new system with different functionality?
What we're looking to do is add the sprinkler system. The mag lock has been there, but apparently the city was, as I know it, tell me if I'm wrong, the city was under the impression that the mag lock was taken out. We don't know how the city got that impression. It was not being used for a long period of time. So maybe Liz can answer that more than I can. But that was our understanding with the communication, that it was not being used, it was not taken out. And perhaps that's where the rub came, where the city thought that the system was taken out, but it wasn't. It wasn't being used.
Okay, I guess we could hear from Liz, and I assume, Liz, you're going to elaborate on that?
Yes, thank you. So on the side of the duplex 1103, we've supported the woman to live there for over 10 years. And on the side 1101, that most recently became aware to the city and fined for having maglocks, kind of two separate situations. So on the 1103 side, we have had magnetic locks there for the entirety of supporting her before this variance kind of came up in the last recent year. And then on the 1101 side, a different person was renting from Sharon and Rick, not Options, and they never took down the magnetic locks from a couple of years ago when they went through this variance process and said, you know, they were not going to install sprinklers. And so then the city said, you must remove them. They said, okay, but they didn't do so. So then the person who was continuing to rent continued to support somebody there with magnetic locks, which Sharon and Rick did not know. And then we were unaware that this was an issue in that setting. And we started to rent from the person who was renting from Sharon and Rick. And so when the fine came earlier this year, that's how Options got involved, because the man that we support was living there with magnetic locks that were never taken down from years ago.
Okay, thanks. Kyle, I guess, Lou, I'm sorry, but Kyle, I need to know how this happened. How did this happen that they got fined? I mean, what's the city's take on this?
Yeah. So the city minimum housing received a referral from the Madison Fire Department that they had received a call for service at the space. And upon investigation, identified the magnetic locking system that had been installed without having been prior approved in this instance. So a citation was issued to the property owner as a result, which has effectively kicked off the chain of events that has landed us here today, where the property owner is seeking the formal approval of this system. As they've indicated, they were under the impression from a previous property manager that they had received approval for this system when they had not. They are seeking that formal approval here today. Because this is a two unit, it is in front of the board as opposed to being able to be handled historically via precedent. Also, having known and discussed this previously from the board, with concerns about multi-dwelling unit buildings, not just a single family home, has led to the equivalent proposal that a sprinkler system be installed the building, which is above and beyond what had been previously required in the single family dwelling homes.
Right, and we, correct, my memory is not so good, but we, the last two unit that we approved like this, we did do the sprinklers. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct. That is what our recommendation has been. That is what our position has been relative to multi-dwelling unit buildings.
Yeah.
Lou, I want to get you on here. You've been waiting.
Well, I just, part of it was what Kyle explained. I just wanted to understand there have been no variances for this address, correct?
That's
And I
correct.
think you explained it. So they're asking for that. And then second, I've read through the information and there's the, this being a multi-family. So each unit, is getting a mag lock. So both sides of the duplex, let's say, it's not just one side, correct? This is for the both sides.
That is correct.
One's already in place, and the other one is getting approved now, even though it is in place, but never approved. Right? Yeah, it's a little confusing because one was already there and approved, and the other side wasn't. And that's the side we're approving today is the 1101. Is that the right address?
Well, it had not been previously approved. So part of the issue here was the failure to install a sprinkler system. Right. So previously it had been considered by the board, and the concession that was requested would have been the installation of a sprinkler system. That was not something that was offered at that point in time, and the approval was not granted. The property owner is now here offering and proposing to install said sprinkler system in approval for approval of the variance.
So, I mean, I think it's a good offer, and I think it's certainly a good protective thing. So it's hard to think that there's something wrong with them sprinklering the duplex. It's not a multi, correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, but we should call, this is not a multi-family. This is a duplex or two unit.
This is a
Multi-family is three and
duplex,
one.
two dwelling units subject to the Wisconsin Uniform Dwelling Code for one and two family dwellings. It is not a commercial building with three or more dwelling units.
Right. So I would not personally call it multi-family. I'd call it a duplex or two unit. So anyway, any more questions, comments, discussion here? George, George?
So for the applicant, if we do move forward with this, what is the timeline where you think you would be able to get the sprinklers installed?
Are you asking that of me, the owner?
If you're installing the system, yes,
Yes.
yes.
Oh, where am I? There you go. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. We already have the schematics and the quote for the sprinkler system. Of course, the mag locks are already there. So as soon as they can get it on their calendar, We're ready to go.
Okay, Richard?
Well, everything my wife has said is, you know, to date and to the point, and we're ready to get this thing accomplished and to move on. Unfortunately, we had the glitch, you know, with one of the managers, and that we terminated the lease so that we could move on and do this properly. We've been working with options for years. We just want to do what's required so these people have a safe environment to live in. And my wife and I we have other units, and it's a way that we give back to the city by helping these people so they don't have to be, living in an institution.
Richard?
Yes.
You're muted.
Oh, I'm muted? Oh,
no. Richard, our board member, Richard.
Is there one person in each unit, or is it multi people in the units?
No.
It's one in each unit.
Okay, and to understand this, it was required to be done before and it didn't get done. And that's why you were cited by the minimum housing inspector?
That's where it gets confusing, even to me. And the reason being, we were told that we knew there has been a mag lock in there, not a sprinkler system. We were told by the last manager that was there that they were going to take the mag locks out, and they didn't. And so an incident happened where the fire department had to be called. And that's when the inspector, I guess, knew that the mag locks were still there. So that's what started everything.
And I'm assuming the inspector then sent everything to you guys as the owner in writing?
Yes and no. Go ahead, Rick.
No, it went to the person that was renting it from us.
Right.
I mean, I put it in simple way of looking at it. We own the building. We take care of the appliances. A management firm comes to us and say, we have a client that needs a place to live. So we deal with this management firm. And the management firm is the one that unfortunately was just down and out lying to us.
Okay. But the other thing too is that, yes, it's a management firm, but not in the strict way I think of a management firm. We are on site. My husband goes there monthly at the very least to make sure the grounds look good, that things are in order, that the clients are being taken care of, that they haven't broken the door, you name it. So we are hands-on, but we rent it to people that rent it back to developmentally disabled. So it's a group effort in that respect. So regrettably, the other company that this incident with fire department happened to wasn't completely upfront with us. And we got a text saying we might be cited. And that's all we knew until we got the citation saying we had so many days to comply. And we knew we didn't know what it was about. So when we found out what we thought was the whole story, then we terminated that relationship immediately.
Okay, so there was like a 30 day, they gave you 30 days to comply and it wasn't complied with. So then the inspector wrote a ticket?
I think that's how it went.
Okay.
We only were told that we didn't comply and we felt, holy cow, we are in trouble.
Are you a licensed CBRF? Is this a state licensed CBRF?
No.
It isn't. Okay. That's all I have for questions.
Okay, I'm trying to think who was next, AJ or Lou. You want to fight it out? AG, haven't heard from you for a while. Let's go with you.
I'm going to try to simplify this. Does the petition for the variance satisfy the violation? And does it, Matt, does it also satisfy the needs for the Madison Fire Department?
I'll answer the first part relative to satisfying the order from building inspection. If the variance is approved here today and the conditions of the variance are complied with, yes, it will satisfy the outstanding order.
Okay, Matt?
Yes, excuse me. This would satisfy those conditions that we have put on previously for approving, for consideration for approving this variance.
Thank you.
Okay, Lou, do you still have something?
I just wanted this to say we've, you know, in the past discourse we've had on the top topic like this with these bag locks and stuff, we've always challenged ourselves on what happens when, you know, use or things change. And I think this is just one of these outcomes. I mean, a couple other things I think were going on in this situation, but just something I think we just, you know, always have and, you know, be aware of when we're debating, you know, something like this. So, you know, we always say what happens when use changes. And I think the only other thing is I guess I did have a question. So is the place currently unoccupied? If I heard it, I don't know. I didn't hear it. It's unoccupied and it's only going to be occupied once the sprinklers get put in, or was there the intent is to, because otherwise, you know, I'm a little nervous of approving it and then not having a date when these sprinklers need to be installed by.
Let me hopefully solve something by letting Liz answer, because I saw your hand up, Liz, but you can't put your hand up. You have to be asked a question. So if this question is directed to you, you can answer it and say whatever.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So both people supported currently live in the duplex with magnetic locks. And when we met with Kyle 2 months ago, we were told that that was okay while we sorted this out and waited for this meeting to occur. And the schematics and quote is ready to go. So again, we are very dedicated to follow through on this immediately and as soon as possible.
Great. Okay. Well, we've heard a lot. Any other questions or any motions at this time? George?
I move we approve the variance as written.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second? AJ, second it. Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, great. Moved and seconded. All in favor, do not raise your hand. All opposed, raise your hand. Okay, it passes then. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Liz, next option here is I will be in contact with you tomorrow just regarding formalizing this, wrapping it all up, putting it into writing here. You can proceed in accordance with the variance at this point. All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to item 3, which is Yellowstone.
428
Yellowstone Drive.
Correct. Item number 3, 428 South Yellowstone Drive. This is a commercial building that is seeking a variance from IBC 1027.6, which requires the exterior exit stairway to be separated from the interior of the building with a 1-hour fire rated barrier. This building has a stairway along the exterior in an interior courtyard type area. Those stairways exit along the side of the building to take you to grade level. And adjacent to the stairways are windows that are designed to be operable for dwelling units. The property owner is seeking a variance that would require those windows to be replaced with appropriate enclosed casement windows that meet the required fire rating. As an alternative to the code, they are proposing an increased sprinkler deluge system along the windows and that they remain operable. There is one individual registered in support to speak. That individual is Ray White. Ray, would you like to speak and present for your 3 minutes?
Sure. My name is Ray White, and I'm an architect with Dimension 4 in Madison. We actually were in front of the board on a few years back for a similar situation. In that case, it was an egress court. But we have it's a multi-story building. The first floor has parking. So above the parking lot level, we have a outdoor terrace, as Kyle mentioned. That outdoor terrace has two egress stairs that are also outdoor stairs. We did not want to rely on the building interior stairwells for egress due to the security concerns of being on this accessible roof terrace and being able to get into the building. So these two stairs are providing the egress from the terrace level. And they do run adjacent, as mentioned, to apartment units, and there's four windows in question that are within the 10-foot area required for the 1 hour rating. We initially had fire rated windows in there. With the fire rated windows, they have to be fixed and they do not come with a thermal break. So in discussions with the owner, we reached out to Matt Hamilton of the fire department and looked at a equivalency for a kind of an atrium water sprinkler system on the interior of the windows, which would then allow the windows to be not fire rated and operable, being the big thing. So our big reasoning for this is to provide an equivalent level of safety while providing windows that are operable to the residents, as well as windows that we have a thermal break. As relative to the rest of the building, we are also proposing these windows be non-combustible frames. So we have, rather than vinyl windows, we are part of the variance would be to make these fiberglass windows as a non-combustible window frame. And I'm available for any questions that anyone has.
Okay, I'll just start off by saying, to me, this is a classic example. I've seen it over the years where good cooperation and communication between fire department and architect slash developer owners, where a problem is solved very well and allows an amenity, which is the openable windows, and provides an equivalent that both the fire department and the owner agree would be good from both of their standpoints. So to me, this is classic and seems quite good to me. Anyway, Ray's open for questions, so. Lou?
Just looking at the position paper or the MFD's position, does this solves the proposed variance as it's written, solves everything that's being asked for? Ma'am.
Yes, this would this position this variance would solve those with the position statement that we provided.
And reading the position statement, it's rather specific on what needs to be done. And I imagine a motion would want to make sure and reference that. Matt?
I will say they have submitted the sprinkler plans for this already, so the sprinkler design is done and we have looked at it, and as long as the variance is approved, we are in concurrence with the work. So
Okay, thanks. Any other questions, comments, motion? Lou?
All motion for approval based on.
Okay, it's been moved. Yep. Rich? You're muted, I'm afraid.
I will second that. And as long as the petition of variance is in there, that okay. Matt Hamilton from the fire department has approved.
So it sounds like a friendly amendment to state that it's per the fire department statement.
Correct.
That friendly amendment accepted.
That's, I was going to add that to the end of what I was saying. So,
great.
Yes.
Okay. So I think we have a clear motion on the table, seconded, and now ready for a vote. If you are in favor, please don't raise your hand now. If you're opposed, raise your hand now. Okay, it passes. And I just want to thank the cooperation that I see here, as I stated earlier. It's really the way to do it.
All right, thank you. Excellent. Ray, again, I will be in contact tomorrow with you, wrapping up the fine details, but proceed as approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We are on to item 4, 2462 Atwood Avenue. I understand that Mr. Hank is sitting this one out.
That is correct. Item number 4, for the property located at 2462 Atwood Boulevard. The property owner here is seeking a variance from the ANSI 117 accessibility requirements related to the sizing of a limited use, limited access, otherwise known as LULA lift, to allow for the installation of a non-required lift in the renovation of the property. We do have one individual registered in support to speak. That is Bradley Severn. Just to add background to this, this is the renovation of St. Bernard's Cathedral Church along Atwood. The space does not require a elevator or conveyance lift. In the process of the renovation, the cathedral parish is wishing to add a lift to serve individuals, but they believe they are constrained by the interior conditions of the property that do not allow for them to meet the size standards required for a LULA lift. So they are seeking to put in a smaller than required LULA lift. In this case, let's see if I can just pull this up. They would require, normally speaking, a 40 by 48 inch car. What they are proposing here is a 32 by 48 inch car. So in one direction, 8 inches narrower. As I stated, this is not a required lift. However, when anyone is installing a device or building a component of the building inspection, building a component of a building, it must meet the building inspection code requirements, regardless of whether it is required or not. So that is the variance that is being sought here. Bradley, if you'd like to present and use your 3 minutes, please proceed.
Oh, there we go. I'm unmuted. I just want to clarify a couple things, and this is what I talked about. You and I discussed earlier, Kyle, the minimum platform requirement required by the ANSI 117 is a minimum 42 inch wide by 54 deep. For a LULA elevator, 15.75 square feet minimum. What we can provide is a 40 inch clear by 48 inch deep cab size based on the limitations of the restrictions that are in place. At that point, I guess I'm open for questions that you guys may have.
Okay, first question is, your plan says 32 by 48, and it says code compliance, so that's confusing me.
So it is confusing. When we submitted this to the building code for variance consideration, we submitted two separate sets of documents. One set of documents was for a limited use, limited application elevator. Which the variance request is for the platform size. And a follow-up request would be for a chairlift, which is a separate conversation. The chairlift minimum requirement for a platform is 36 inches by 48. We have no problem providing the platform chairlift dimension within the space. The client, St. Bernard's Cathedral, would prefer a limited use, limited application elevator because the cab is slightly larger and it would provide for a completely enclosed shaft. They prefer that it's a much more reliable safety situation. Platform lifts, chair lifts are typically left in kind of an open shaft at the top. And the controls are push button for a Lula, as opposed to a platform, unless it's a continuous hold and button situation. So what got lost in the conversation here, and I'm not sure where it was because we submitted it to the building desk, was the actual layout for the Lula, which is what Matt is referring to. Or sorry, not Matt, Kyle.
Okay, this is really confusing. Kyle?
Yeah, okay. So I want to apologize here. I have the incorrect document loaded up here. So there were two proposed solutions that were originally brought forward, neither of which could fully meet the code requirements. One was a installation of a Lula lift, smaller than the required size for a Lula lift. That was an option, and that is what should have been included here in the documents. The second option that was considered was a platform lift, which could meet the size requirements for a platform lift, but the vertical distance was greater than the platform lift would allow for. The intent was to consider the Lula lift as the preferred option for the applicant here, and should have been the documents that I provided. So I apologize for that. Brad, do you have the documents for the Lula lift available?
I do.
Okay.
I can share them if you'd like. No, I have to get them open.
Yeah, what I would like to do here.
So the variance, the application that we're looking at that was included, that is correct.
So the variance application is correct, but the drawings are incorrect. The drawings reflect the platform lift. The drawings do not reflect the Lula lift. That is what is being considered. That is the preferred option here.
Okay, I would suggest, if possible, while this is being maybe loaded up so that we can look at the right drawings, that we discuss kind of a general point, which is when something isn't a required feature, how hard do you want to push it? I think that's kind of the question here. Nobody has to do this, so anything is better than the way it would have been without it. So to me, in these situations, it's all a matter of, is there a safety concern? If it creates a safety concern, then it's better we don't allow it. If it doesn't create a safety concern, then why not? Because it only increases the functionality. Just throwing that out there. I think that's the heart of this discussion, regardless of what we're looking at, I guess. And then I suppose it's if somebody thought that the platform lift is a better solution somehow than the preferred Lula. And just to explain what I understand the difference is, I hope I know this. You know, the Lula is a lot more like an elevator, and the platform lift is basically just what it sounds like. It's a lift that rises. It's not an enclosed shaft. It's having had one in my own building that I worked in for years. They're not, in my mind, up to snuff with Lula in terms of, let's say, quality of the way it operates. Anybody disagree with that? Richard? You're muted.
Well, those lifts work for wheelchairs? Are the lifts, are you able to easily get a wheelchair in and get them up to the location? That's my only question.
Brad, are you looking for me to answer that?
Why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, the answer is yes. Actually, ANSI, the accessibility standards in which we work by, when we're dealing with a platform lift or a wheelchair lift, the minimum cab size or minimum platform size is 36 inches wide by 48 inches in depth. When you go to a LULA, the minimum requirement for a LULA is 42 inches wide, 54 inches in depth. So what we can provide in the space, and Kyle, I sent you the drawing. I can share it if you would prefer.
Yeah, would you please do so?
It yet. I gotta remember how to share. I haven't used, there we go. So what you're seeing up on the screen at the moment is the layout for the LULA, and we can provide a cab for the LULA, which is 40 inches clear by 48 inches in depth. So the cab size for the LULA is wider than what is required for a platform lift by code, but the depth is not. The depth meets the depth for a platform lift, not for a LULA. If that makes sense.
Well, to me, the question is, why are there these different requirements? You know, is there something about a LULA that requires more clearance for the same functionality as a platform lift? And I don't know anything about that, any reason that that would be true. Unless it has to do with when you're in there, having access to the controls in a certain way or something so that they're not unreachable or something. I just don't know.
Yeah, that would be trying to ask the originators of the ANSI accessibility code as to why they made these two exceptions. And I do not know the reasoning behind it. It might be for access to controls, but I can't answer that question because I do not know the answer to that.
Yeah, I'm reading the notes on this drawing, which I assume are from the manufacturer, true?
They are, yep.
Yeah, and they say this unit does not fully comply with ASME 117.1.
Yep.
Due to car size, this unit has extremely tight clearances for installation.
So the tight clearances for installation is in reference to the actual space in which we're putting it. And their note regarding does not meet fully comply with ASME is the ASME standard of 42 inches in width by 54 inches in depth for a LULA. Right. That's the minimum.
Right. So my thought here is, from my perspective, and again, I'm not a voting member here unless I have to break a tie, but to me, the critical thing here is to make sure that something doesn't get installed that basically doesn't work very well. I mean, if I were the architect for this project, I'd be worried that it really doesn't work very well for somebody in a wheelchair because of some functional reason that we don't know about yet, because we don't have that piece of information. So that worries me a little bit, although again, this is still better than nothing. So it's hard for me to think of opposing this when you're trying to provide some kind of accessibility, which I'm assuming will work for somebody, or they wouldn't make the unit at all, I hope. Why would they offer that unit if it was totally impossible to use? That'd be ridiculous for them.
Yeah, it generally works. And I just go back to the thought of that if we were to put a platform here, a wheelchair lift, the minimum dimension is 36 inches by 48 inches. So we meet those requirements.
Right.
For clear floor space for one and not the other.
Right. And the only difference I can imagine why the dimensions are different have something to do with access to controls or something. But again, I just can't believe the manufacturer would make a product that doesn't work for somebody in a wheelchair when that's the whole most of the point of it. I mean, sure, you can use it for somebody who's not in a wheelchair. Anybody who just simply can't walk stairs is going to benefit from this. And that's why, again, no matter what, it's hard for me to say don't do it, you know, when it's certainly going to benefit a number of people, you know, potentially. Richard and Lou.
I just want to clarify, it will work with a motorized wheelchair too. I know that the, you know, with a motorized wheelchair, if they have life support systems on it, you know, sometimes they are a little bit deeper, you know, with the batteries and stuff. But so from my understanding, it will work with a motorized wheelchair or a normal wheelchair. I shouldn't have any problems. You know, they may not have an attendant goes up with them, but they'll be able to go up safely. Am I correct in assuming that?
I mean, we're assuming that the wheels, motorized wheelchairs don't change in design and concept down the road, but yes.
Yeah, and once again, I mean, there's probably somebody with some wheelchair or some problem who won't be able to take advantage of this, but it is offered as a voluntary improvement. So that would be my line of thinking anyway, just based on what you just said. There may be a person for whom this doesn't work, but there are a lot of other people it would work for. I guess that's where I'm coming from.
So. Yeah, and the cathedral, if we were not to put this in, the cathedral has areas set aside on the main floor for people that cannot make it to the balcony for access and equivalent nature. And they have a small choir area set to the side as well. And keeping the balcony particularly is established for choir use only. It is not meant for general participation in church service. It is for choir use only.
Jim, I just wanted to say, based on the information being provided and having my experiences between both, you know, seeing wheelchair lift installations and Lulu lift installations, I think it is such a limited use and, you know, in an area where I don't think we'll get any access, and it's actually going to provide better access for the people. I'd be in favor of approving this.
Okay. Any other discussion of this? Any other questions? And if not, does anybody want to make a motion on this? I might be missing some people. I can see the share screen's blocking some people here. Anybody got their hand up? I don't see any hands up. Here we go. We need either further questioning or a motion, please. Or are we gridlocked here? Gail?
I'm going to move to approve to see where our discussion goes, since nobody is saying anything else.
Okay, so motion is made. Is there a second? Lou?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. All in favor, do not raise your hand now. All opposed, raise your hand now. Okay, we are approved then. Thank you for coming in.
All right. So, that concludes our items other than communications and announcements.
Yeah, communications and announcements today. Lou?
You know, I would just want to speak about last meeting. Somehow that had dropped off of my calendar, and just being able to get out and get a
get these all tagged out. I mean, something that I guess we can do, but if, Kyle, if we get the the month or the agenda, send a meeting invite for these, because once it's in that calendar, I tend to respect the space. That's all I wanted to say.
Do you prefer, or does the anyone on the board have a preference as far as Outlook calendar reminders or some other sort of notification?
Outlook's fine for me.
I tend to, I just like an email. I think email is what I look at the very most. But if it's been one time sent, like it was this time, I don't necessarily need a reminder of the day of or something. As long as it's
Would
there.
I would be happy to schedule out the, like, for example, the remaining ones for the year, and we could cancel them, of course, if they don't come up. Typically, what I will do is I will schedule it when we have an item that comes in. If you prefer for me to schedule it so it goes on your calendar and then cancel it, I'm happy to do that as well.
That
I
sounds
see
great
a
to
lot of
me.
head shaking.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
I'll go ahead and do that then.
Thanks, Kyle. The one thing, I don't know if this is something to be said here, but I believe my term ends in next month or in April or something. So I didn't know. Is that true? Thought I looked at that.
I received notification on Friday about terms. So terms do expire in April. Everyone here would be good through March. I have not dug into it deep enough to be able to answer that question. I do know that we did get an application that came in after the deadline this month for there to be a March meeting. So we will have an item on said agenda, and I will definitely address it there. I'll also be reaching out to individuals who are up as far as term expiration, whether or not individuals would like to let their term expire, would prefer to or seek for to be extended and to stay on, and or anybody who has individuals who are able and or willing to serve on the board. This has been I have tried. It has been difficult to find good individuals. This group is a small, special group because of some of the specialties that are required, as well as the willingness to volunteer for that. If you have individuals that you know in your life that are capable and are willing, I am 100% all ears because I'm looking for any good individuals I can get.
What are we missing right now?
We w could use individuals with legal background. That would be helpful. We could use individuals with engineering background, and we could use individuals with general construction knowledge.
They need to be city residents, Kyle?
Yes, they do. That is one of the limiting factors that does create a more difficult time. Yes.
When you say engineering and arch, it's have a stamp, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So, state of Wisconsin licensed engineer or architect. We obviously, Jim is a licensed architect here in the state of Wisconsin. Individuals that have one or the other or both would certainly be valuable.
Okay. Any other communications announcements?
Yeah, just real briefly. So I will mention, I had said earlier, just for everyone here to be aware, City Building Inspection is working on expanding digital plan review process, moving towards digitizing things, doing things with less touch points for our customers, making hopefully easier to access our services. We have rolled out a review process for all one and two family type projects, whether that be new building, renovation, addition, or finishing of unfinished space. Individuals still maintain the ability to come to our counter to submit things in physical form, but we are starting to push people more towards the digital format. We've got a framework in place. We're starting to see some success with that. Looking to hopefully expand that out to commercial towards the tail end of this year, depending upon what our demand looks like, what our capacity is, and the response that we get. So, Jim, I will be soliciting input from individuals over the upcoming month in the form of electronic town halls. For people who have used the system, people who have questions. I will also be teaching on it at our uniform dwelling contractor training coming up here in March at Boulevard Lanes, and fielding questions periodically just from individuals who make their way to our office. So if you are in the design field, you know people, or you hear something about it, that's what's up. And I am, of course, happy to hear anything that's coming up, good, bad, or otherwise, because it helps us improve the process and refine something that we think is going to be really valuable to our customers.
Very good.
That is all I got.
Okay. Well, I believe all we need is a motion to adjourn then.
I move we adjourn.
Okay. Second?
I'll second that motion to adjourn.
Okay, moving second, and all in favor, don't raise your hands. I know, Richard, you don't want your hand up because you just made second. Okay, we are now adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the nice weather.
Thank you.